Gone are the days of the truly hard-drinking Hollywood.
Say, how many drinks have you had?
This will make 6 martinis.
All right. Will you bring me 5 more martinis? Leo, line them right up here.
Yes, ma'am.
This exchange from 1934's The Thin Man could have come from just about any Hollywood party back then. A new book by writer Mark Bailey and illustrator Edward Hemingway uncorks a lot of stories from L.A.'s plastered past. It's called Of All the Gin Joints. And where better to hear these stories than a legendary watering hole? This is the hotel bar at the Chateau Marmont along Hollywood's Sunset Boulevard.
You know, the Chateau is really my favorite.
Author Mark Bailey.
The famous quip is Harry Cohn, who was the president of Columbia Studios, who said, if you must get into trouble, do it at the Marmont.
That's because Columbia maintained their own bungalow here. And a lot of people took up Harry Cohn on that offer. Humphrey Bogart, William Holden, Glenn Ford, they all caroused right here. My rule for this interview, with each cocktail, I need a story from Mark Bailey about old Hollywood. Our first is a classic.
This is a Bloody Mary, and it's a good one to start with. Errol Flynn had his first Bloody Mary in the 1940s, and he was on the Warner Brothers lot. And the actress Ann Sheridan, she was in Angels with Dirty Faces, among other things, but the actress Ann Sheridan was drinking a Bloody Mary, and she gave Errol a try. And he really loved it. And it began this great love of vodka. And sort of given Flynn and how many women he went through in his lifetime, I think that vodka was probably his most enduring relationship. But as far as the Bloody Mary in particular, what he liked about it was that you could hide your alcohol in the drink, which would allow him to drink on set. He would actually, he'd inject oranges with vodka. That was one of his tricks.
Cheers.
Cheers, yeah. Here we go. And we're off.
I'll spare you the sound of two guys slurping, but it was delicious. The next cocktail bears the name of a now-defunct restaurant shaped like a hat.
The Brown Derby cocktail, I think it's just a beautiful drink. It's bourbon and grapefruit juice and honey mix, which is essentially like simple syrup, but with honey.
The Brown Derby attracted Hollywood's elite from the 1930s and beyond.
People sat in this ring where you were kind of, the VIPs were sat on the outside of the ring, so you were paid proper attention. It really was a place that just everybody in town went. It's, you know, where Clark Gable proposed to Carol Lombard. They had the two biggest gossip columnists in town sort of set up shop permanently in there. Luella Parsons did first, and then her rival, Hedda Hopper, did, like at the other side.
The Brown Derby cocktail is served in a martini glass, which gives it the appearance of its namesake.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be too sweet.
No, it's...
But, yeah, that's pretty nice.
Next up, a drink that was invented at the Hollywood bar Cock and Bull. It's called the Moscow Mule. Ginger beer, vodka, and lime juice.
The first customer to try it was an actor, a great character actor named Broderick Crawford, who was physically a huge guy. He played Lenny in Of Mice and Men. And so Brod Crawford tried it, and he thought it was really good. He said it had a little kick to it, and so thus the Moscow Mule was born, the drink with the velvet kick.
And Crawford has another piece of Hollywood infamy to his credit. He was part of an historically sloppy cast on the 1955 Stanley Kramer film, Not as a Stranger.
Kramer had cast Broderick Crawford, and he'd also cast Frank Sinatra, and he'd cast Robert Mitchum and Lee Marvin, and Lon Chaney Jr. So this is like the U.S. Olympic team of, you know, drunkards. I mean, Mitchum said it wasn't a cast so much as a brewery, right? And so the set, they're demolishing trailers and, you know, phones are being ripped from walls. It's just, in Sinatra was kind of a scrawny little guy, but Sinatra would tease Broderick Crawford relentlessly. He'd call him Lenny from Crawford's role as Lenny and Of Mice and Men.
The mentally challenged,
yeah,
large...
The large mentally challenged guy. And so, apparently he did this one too many times, and Crawford just snapped, and he grabs Sinatra, and he pins him down, and he rips off his toupee, and he starts eating it. So Sinatra's pinned down bald, and Crawford's eating his toupee, and Mitchum comes in to try and break it up, and Crawford belts Mitchum. And so then Crawford and Mitchum was not a small man,
right,
the two of them start going at it. Finally, what ended the fight is that Crawford started choking from all the hair in his throat.
Got a hairball.
And they had to bring a medic to the set.
And, you know, I feel like we should say I don't want to hit a down note or be too much of a downer on the holidays, but we should take note while we're having some fun with these stories that there was an enormous personal toll that alcohol took on a lot of these people and a lot of the people who were around them.
Yeah, it was a different era for sure, and I think that there were different standards. So people who we might think of now as clearly problem drinkers back then were just, you know, hard drinkers. You didn't really have anywhere to go. There wasn't AA built up as a group like it is now to treat. There's one of the stories I like that sort of sums it up nicely is it's a story about William Holden. And William Holden, and he was friends with another actor named Dana Andrews, and another guy who some folks might know named Ronald Reagan. And so the three of them, they were at a Screen Actors Guild meeting. And after the meeting ended, they order a round of drinks, and they all start talking. And, you know, after 10 minutes or so, the waiter comes back. And Holden and Andrews both order another. And Reagan's just kind of looking at the two of them, you know, puzzled. And he says, why are you ordering another drink? You just had one. And so years later, looking back on this, Andrews would point out, and look what happened. Bill and I became a couple of alcoholics, and Ronnie went on to become the president of the United States of America.
Finally, a holiday favorite of Humphrey Bogart's.
Bourbon milk punch was a drink that Bogart liked to have on Christmas Day in the house he shared with his wife, fourth and last wife, Lauren Bacall. And Christmas was also Bogart's birthday. Bacall said that he liked the bourbon milk because it helped him with his hangovers. And you make it up in a big batch. It's, you know, bourbon and half and half and powdered sugar, vanilla extract.
Was Bogart the one, I'm remembering this correct, he wouldn't drink on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, New Year's Eve was just about the only night that Bogart wouldn't drink, and he didn't drink on New Year's Eve because he said everybody else did, and so he didn't. The quote of Bogart's that's in the book, I like Bogart's quote, is essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but is the problem with the rest of the world is they're all three drinks behind me. And so I think that he and his gang were a little bit ahead of us.
Cheers. Thank you.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Mark Bailey is the author of the book Of All the Gin Joints, about Hollywood's dizzying relationship with the bottle. We've been at Hollywood's Chateau Marmont. Mark, this has been a blast. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. How great is it to talk about my book and to have four cocktails? A perfect afternoon here in Hollywood. A sigh
is just a sigh. We had a blast, but we made sure everyone was sober for the drive home. I hate to sound even more like a liquor ad, but please enjoy your holiday responsibly. Time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. Oh,